हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So then continuing there at Draupadi Swayamvar, and then when Draupadi came out, then everybody stood up to see, including the Pandavas. And when the Pandavas stood up, then Krishna noticed them and then pointed out to Balaram that I think this is the Pandavas. And then Balaram looked also and then said, yes, I think it is. So they were very happy, and they just sat there. They weren't standing up to see the princess or anything. So by now all the princes were gazing only at Draupadi and her father. None of them noticed the Pandavas in their midst, right? Because they just stood up. No one's looking that way. That's why also Krishna and Balaram were very careful how they looked. You know, they just happened to be looking around and like that. So they weren't like, hey, you look like, because otherwise if Krishna's pointing at somebody, people will look. But he just, you know, notices like that. Drupad waved to them, and biting their lips in anger and envy towards one another, they sat down, right? So Drupad waving, you know, okay, everybody sit like this, you know, it's like, because they all just stood up, because now sit, be relaxed, now they're going to announce, and then they're going to start the proceedings. So biting the lips in anger and envy towards one another, because each one, you know, wants to get Draupadi, each one is envious of the other and angry at the other and like this. So it's quite a passionate environment. As celestial flowers fell from the sky, the sound of countless conches and kettle drums filled the stadium. So Drupad, and then they had the kettle drums and the conch shells and the demigods that you were watching, you know, because it says, you know, Yama, Indra, Kuvera, Vayu, Siddhas, Charnas, Nagas, Rudyas, Daityas, Danavas, like that. They were all watching. Narada, Angira, Parvati. So from there, they were taking care of the flowers, and Drupad was taking care of the conch shells and the kettle drums. Draupadi's brother, Drishtadyumna, stood up like a golden flagstaff, raised in honor of Indra. The stadium fell silent as he announced the names of all the kings and princes present, right? So first they're all just talking and this and that, and then he waves them to sit down. They'll still be mumbling a little bit, but then when Drishtadyumna comes out to read the list and all that, now they're all silent. He first named the princes of Hastinapur, then those from Mathura, then all those attending from hundreds of other countries and provinces. Drishtadyumna held his sister's arm and said in a voice that rumbled like thunder, "This princess will be won today by one who can hit the mark." The prince pointed to the huge bow lying on a golden table. "There is the bow and the arrows you must use. Truly do I say that whoever shoots an arrow through the device and into the target will win Draupadi's hand. Only one of noble birth and great prowess will be capable of this feat." Right, so here he's already indicating noble birth and great prowess. So we see is that everyone will step forward will be of noble birth, very few of great prowess. Karna will step forward, great prowess, but not of noble birth, like that. So in that way, then only Arjuna has both. Drishtadyumna sat down near his father. Drupad instructed his priest to kindle the sacrificial fire for the Swayamvar ceremony. The sounds of thousands of Brahmas reciting Vedic mantras filled the arena. The king looked around at the assembled princes, right? So even though there's so much passion in all that, the same time you see is they have this formality. They can come, they can sit, you know, the announcement is there, they follow, then there's going to be the yajna, then there's going to be the ceremony, and one by one they'll all come up. So it's not a rowdy affair. Right, it's only because Draupadi was so beautiful that everyone stood up like that. But probably other Swayamvars, you don't hear of that specifically happening. So, except for, Rukminis, then when she came out, they were just bewildered, rather standing up and rah like this. They just were just, you know, just like this. And then Krishna just came up and very comfortably picked her up, put her on the chariot, drove off, and they're all looking, oh wow, such nice things Krishna's taking and this, like that. And it's like, hey. But with Draupadi, then rah, like this. So each one gets a different reaction. What you'll do, you know, Kunti would have gotten a different reaction. They all would have gotten different. So here now they're doing yajna. The king looked around at the assembled princes. He was not impressed, right? Because Drupad is a Maharati, right? You can see he defeated the princes of Hastinapur, like that. So he's not impressed, and they're the best, right? And Krishna and Balaram, the Yadus, they're not going to take part. They just came because it's a festival, you know, it's a Kshatriya thing. None of these proud monarchs looked like a suitable match for his daughter. That's why he made the thing so strict. The king thought of Arjuna. If only that prince were still alive. He had heard a rumor that the Pandavas had escaped the fire. But where were they now? Only someone of Arjuna's ability could pass the test. Drupad had deliberately devised such a test in hopes that the Pandava might appear. Yajna had promised him he would attain a daughter from his sacrifice, who would become Arjuna's wife, right? Because that was the thing. His daughter would be Arjuna's wife, and his son would kill Drona. You know, these were his great desires. How could the Rishi's words prove false? Drupad looked on anxiously as each king and prince was called to try the tests, right? And they'll go down in, you know, a nice order and all that. With their crowns and golden earrings glinting in the bright sunshine, the kings and princes strode up one by one to the bow. It was only with considerable effort that they were able to even lift the massive weapon from the table. Having somehow managed that, and finally getting it upright, they had to bend and string it. Remember what I was saying is these bows are like this. They're not this kind of bow that then you bend this little bit backwards, you know, or a straight bow that you bend it like this. These are bows that are like this that you have to bend this way. The string goes on this side. They bend back that way. So that's why, you know, it was so special, these bows. Those kings could not manage the task even in their imaginations, right? They were having trouble lifting it, let alone lifting it, putting it straight, and then on top of that, then you have to be able to string it. The bow would bend slightly, then spring back with great force. The would-be suitors were thrown to the ground, their bodies bruised and their crowns and garlands scattered, right? Because they'll pull the thing and they'll get it. And if they don't get it strong, then the full power of that, because the more you pull it, the stronger it gets. And so if they only get it part way, then if it doesn't, it'll spring and it'll throw them. As they each took their turn and were in turn humiliated, they returned to the fine golden thrones, straightened their shining ornaments as they walked. Panting for breath, the romantic ardor dispelled, the princes sat silently shaking their heads. Right, so they're sitting nicely, they get up, yeah, and then they go, and then that starts to get, hey, this isn't working out so good. Karna's turn came. Seeing him march towards the bow like a golden mountain entering the arena, the Pandavas considered that the target had been struck and the princess won. As he approached the bow, however, Draupadi stood up and said in a loud voice, I shall not accept a charioteer's son as my husband. Right, so Draupadi herself said that. She didn't even tell her brother to say that, right? Because he was on the list, so it's her choice. Because Swayamvara means she chooses. The father has made an arrangement, but still, it's up to her choice. That's the uniqueness of the Swayamvara, is that means of so many people she can choose. The general thing is the father will look for proper arrangements, and they'll see the daughter if she likes. You know, if there's a few choices, which would you prefer? These are your best. And then, so it's still that, or she may choose someone, tell the father, then he'll make the arrangement. But you don't have this wide array like this. And so only very qualified girls who actually understand, you know, what's qualification, who they are, what's the situation and everything, can then have such a position. Knowing that Karna was the son of Adirata, the leader of the Suta caste, who had generally acted as chariot drivers. Right? So he was the leader of them. So he wasn't just any chariot driver, but he was the leader of them. Draupadi exercised her prerogative and denied him the opportunity to attempt the test. It's not like he does the test and then she says no. Tell him before, otherwise he's made so much effort, and then you tell no, you have to stop him before. That's proper. Karna blushed deeply and laughed in vexation. Glancing at the sun, he turned and strode back to his seat. He ground his teeth and wrung his hands in anger, but said nothing. Right, because it's the girl's choice, and so he can't. But we see later on, that was at a gambling match. Then he's the one that was poking the most, abuse and everything because of this. He was feeling very insulted there. The powerful king of the Chedi, Shishupal, was next. With great effort, he bent the bow into a semicircle, then lost his grip as he tried to string it. He was thrown onto his back and lay there exhausted for several moments before returning to his seat, defeated. Then Jarasandha, lord of the Magadha country and scourge even of the gods, took his turn. He bent the bow and held it in one hand while trying to string it with the other. Again, the bow resisted, and he was thrown to his knees. Right, so he didn't go back on Shishupal. So he was a powerful personality. He was thrown onto his back, and it took him a few moments to sit up. Jarasandha, it just threw him down to his knees like that. So that would be considered more, noble, like that. Sneering at the other monarch's weaknesses. Sneering at the other monarch's weakness, Duryodhana strode up, right? So now here, because here it is, Jarasandha is the strongest 10,000 elephants, also Duryodhana. So the whole thing is then how is it, one can't do it, how will the other do it? But even if he can, because it's not, see, the thing is it's not just strength. Most of these others are using strength, but it's technique. That's the whole point, how Arjuna could string it. Because it's technique. So if you know the technique, it's not just the strength. It'll be how you use it, the timing of it. Because they're pulling it and then taking the string. But you just have to take it and just at one time, just do it in a certain way. Silence fell upon the assembly as the king of Hastinapur bowed to Draupadi. Right? So at least he was respectful. The king nodded slightly, and Duryodhana lifted the bow. Right? Because at least, if nothing else, if he does win, at least he's the emperor of the world. So it's not bad, but he doesn't seem, as a person, he's not the best match. But at least, prestige-wise, he's a solid person. And Duryodhana lifted the bow. He strung it deftly, right, because he's trained by Drona and all that. Well, these other ones are not. And placed on its string one of the golden shafted arrows. So now he's gotten the closest that there is. Taking careful aim, he loosed the arrow. It sped upward and passed cleanly through the rotating hole, but missed the target by a hair's breadth. So he was able, the rotating hole, he's able to get that, but he missed the target. Just very slightly. The prince angrily threw down the bow and returned to his seat. You see there the character. He shows that respect, but it's not. Just like Karna, he walks into the assembly and then, boasts about himself. There's something wrong here. They don't have the quite character that you are looking for. Like the Pandavas, they're able to please everybody because of their character. These other ones, they may have knowledge, they may have skills, they may have position and authority, but they don't have the character. Knowing that it was Draupadi's destiny to marry Arjuna, none of the Yadava kings, including Krishna and Balaram, attempted the test. Right, because the Yadava kings means Kunti is from the Yadava clan. That's why she was so special, and so they know she's supposed to marry Arjuna, so they won't step forward out of respect because it's their like their nephew, like that. They simply watched and laughed as the bow hurled each of the princes to the ground. They breathed a sigh of relief when Duryodhana's arrow whistled past the target, right? Because none of them would want, except maybe Balaram, but none of them would want Duryodhana to win Draupadi, because it's supposed to be for Arjuna, and Arjuna was one of their clan. He's technically a Kaurava, but his mother is from their clan, so he's related. That wicked man did not deserve a prize like Draupadi. But where was Arjuna? Only Krishna and Balaram felt no apprehension. They looked across at the Brahmin's compound. Now all the kings had tried and failed. Draupadi was still holding the bright red garland on its golden dish. Drishtadyumna called for any last contestants. Arjuna looked at Domya, who smiled and nodded. Right, so, you know, he's not going to do anything. Means one, they're living as Brahmins, but at the same time as that they have their Brahmin now as Kshatriyas, princes, he's not going to do anything unless he says it's good. Right? Because they've waited. All the Kshatriyas have tried. Because if it comes in earlier, people might get upset why this Brahmin is coming and all that. But they've all tried, you know, so that's it. That's the Swayamvar technically, you know, is over. So now it's going to be, well, anybody else, you know, like that. You know, you never know. Parasaram might come up, you know, somebody, you know. The prince stood up and walked to the center of the arena. The assembled Brahmas roared in joy and waved their discs. Because now it's like the Kshatriyas failed. Now it's like one of our boys. Right? Maybe a simple Brahmin would succeed where even the proud, mighty kings of the earth could not. And if any Brahmin could succeed, it would be this one. Arjuna looked like a dark cloud as he advanced towards the bow. He moved like a lion. Right? So he's not, even though they're living as Brahmins, they're not Brahmins. So they're still going to move and their stride and everything like that. So he's not putting an air on, so he's not walking like, the, you know, they're doing this whole thing, but just how he'll walk will just be, you know, a lion just walks the way a lion walks. It doesn't have to cut a profile. So they could see it's okay. Not all the Brahmins agreed. Some of the elder Brahmins were doubtful. Fearing that Arjuna would humiliate the Brahmin class by this rash act, they spoke out loudly. How can one untrained in arms and lacking strength succeed where even the lords of this world have failed? Because he goes up and they may make comments. Oh, so you Brahmins think, you know, this and that. And, you know, they've seen so much and they want to avoid such things. Well, the younger ones, they're all thinking, yes, you know, one of our boys. Stop that youth. It is merely out of childish impetuosity or vanity that he is attempting this impossible task. We shall all be made to look ridiculous, right? Because Kshatriyas win, it's, you know, glory for the Kshatriyas. The Brahmins win or lose, it's their win or loss. And he's also saying that youth, because they're very young. I think at this time they're maybe in their late teens, like that. I'm not sure. I think Yudhishthira might be 21, like that. And then... or something like that. If he's 21, then that would be, Bhima would be 20 or 19, and then there's a gap, so then that would mean like Arjuna's like 18, and then the Nakula and Sahadeva would like be around 16, 17. You know, so they're old enough they would have graduated, so that means generally at least 16. But you remember, they've just graduated, they've come to the palace, all this, and then Duryodhana makes this plan, sends them to the forest. You know, then they're there for a year, then they escape, and now they've come. So that'll put them there at like that age. Other Brahmins demurred. Just look more closely at this boy. His arms and thighs resemble the trunks of mighty elephants. His shoulders are broad, and he appears as powerful as a maddened lion. He may well succeed. Surely he would not have gone forward if he lacked energy and power. Because they say, he's a Brahmin. Brahmins are smart. They know who they are. They know what their abilities. Why would he get up and go forward if he didn't think he could do it? Because he wouldn't go just out of lust. That's Kshatriyas. They may be overwhelmed by lust, but Brahmins, then they're more careful about these things. So that's what the others are saying. It says no. It says it's what you're saying is correct there because it's senior Brahmins. But look at this Brahmin. Look at how he is, how he carries himself, how his strength and everything. Some of them describe the power of the Brahmins, and then anyway, the Brahma Tejas, you know, if he's a strong Brahmachari and all that, his austerities, just from that he could do it. Whether possessed of physical strength or not, Brahmas were always powerful by virtue of their spiritual strength. Right? So he may be using that. No Brahman should ever be disregarded. Once, all the earth's warriors had been annihilated by Parasuram, who was a Brahmana. The great Rishi, Agastya, had drunk the entire ocean, right? And he's the one that's this big. You know, see, like that, this big, walks up to the ocean, just puts his hands, drinks the whole ocean. So that's what they're point making. You know, don't doubt the Brahmins, because they don't know who these Brahmins are. You know, they could be here, they could be very powerful, they could be celestials, they could be anything. There was nothing a Brahmin could not achieve. This youth should not be checked. Yes, let him go forward, shouted one of them. He will easily string the bow and strike down the target. So the elders replied, so be it, and again took their seats. So it's not that you got the young yelling here and the elders are all like that. They all cheer and then they go forward and the elders doubt. And then the younger ones, they say, no, check this, so many things. And then they give Shastric evidence. Then the Brahmins say, okay, let it happen. So now he's going with the Brahmin, his own priest's blessings, and now with all the elders' blessings, and of course the well-wishing of all the other Brahmins. So that's the one thing that all these other kings, none of these other kings have specifically directly the well-wishing of the Brahmins. The Brahmins are there, and they're, you know, of course, they're always helpful, but here you see is that they're specifically now, they've made a decision on Arjuna. Arjuna reached the center of the arena, and after bowing to the king, right? So who is it? He bowed. Like, so he goes and he bows. Spoke in a voice that echoed around the stadium. So it wasn't just a how you say, quiet Brahmin. But, you know, so he speaks and you could hear the whole stadium. Is it permissible for a Brahmin to accept this test? Right? Because he walks up there, but, you know, first it has to be, you know, is it approved? Means, does the father allow? Because generally only the Kshatriyas are there. Does Draupadi allow? Because you see, Karna came, Draupadi didn't allow. Like that. And whoever's on the list, that's who has read, that's who's come forward. So he's not on the list. Right? Draupadi looked curiously at the Brahmin, then gave his assent. It is never disgraceful for rulers to be subordinated by the powers of Brahmins. Right? So the Kshatriyas are the most powerful. But here you have the emperors of the world and the kings of the world. And so they if this Brahmin can defeat him, it's not a disgrace. Right? Now, if, let's say, Ekalavya came forward or something, then that's a disgrace because he's in a lower position. So even though he has the skill, he doesn't have the character. So that's the point, is that skill's not enough. In the contemporary environment, we put so much emphasis on the skill. But if the attitude is wrong, that someone has good skill, a bad attitude, and defeats someone else who has a better character, even though his skill is less, that's actually a degradation of the social fabric, rather than equality. Because the equality is, equalness means character. Then we can talk about skill. But nowadays, a character is removed. It's just the skill that we're talking about equal. Or even no skill, just people feel like it. I feel like it, and so that, therefore, the equality. So here is that. The king replied, indeed, they are protected by that power, even as Vishnu protects the gods. Arjuna, so he said, so there's no problem. So he didn't say just yes, he just said that the kings are defeated by the Brahmins, it's never a problem like that. And so therefore, so they're protected by the Brahmins, just as the Brahmins are protected by Vishnu. And Vishnu protects the gods, the Brahmins protect the kings. Arjuna turned to the bow and, folding his palm, bowed low before it. Now that's one thing, no one else has respected the bow. We see that Duryodhana respected Drupad, but not the bow, right? And even when he finished, he just threw it down. But we see here as Arjuna comes and folding his palms, bowed low before it. You also see when he gets the chariot from Agni, before mounting it, he offers, circumambulates, offers respects, then steps on it. So the point is if it has some special potency, where does the potency come from? It comes from Krishna, it must be respected. But the others say, no, I deserve it, I'm special. Within his mind, he prayed to Krishna, having walked respectfully around the bow three times, right? So he offers respects, circumambulates, like you see the chariot. He took it up in his right hand. In moments, he has strung it and placed a golden arrow on the string. So he just, you know, others may have used two hands to pick. He picks it up in a moment, and then he just has it strung. So the other ones, it's like getting up, then getting a straight, and then stringing it. You know, it's a whole step-by-step thing. But he's just basically picking it up and then stringing it. So that's Arjuna. Right? Yeah, and not only has he strung it, but the arrow has also been placed. So it's all just one flowing movement of picking it up, stringing it, and putting the bow, and you're ready to shoot. Otherwise, if you can't do that, how do you fight? You know, you say, one minute, let me pick up my bow, you know, like that. I got a string. Come on, calm down. You know, that's not going to be a great fight. A complete hush fell over the stadiums. Arjuna stood absolutely still with the arrow drawn to the full circle. So, you know, they're all there, and they're probably talking, what's this Brahmin and this and that. But then he just, in a moment, because the other ones, you can see, it's a whole process. He just, in a moment, has it strong, he's ready, and he's ready to fire. Everyone becomes quiet like that. And it says in a full circle. So it's not just a little bit pulled. He's got it in a full circle. So, the circle in the bow, it looks like that. He knelt and aimed upwards at the target. Suddenly he released the arrow and it shot up with blinding speed. Passing cleanly through the hole, it struck the target in its center. Right? So it didn't just nick it. It hit it right solid in the center. As the target clattered to the ground with the arrow sticking from it, the stadium erupted. Right? So, you're going to see the target. It's got the arrow right in the center. Right? So that he did it. The one he got through, he hit it, and it's right there. So that means that. So after that quiet, because everyone's there, then everyone's going to, you know, whoa, you know, it's going to be a big thing. The people rose to their feet and cheered while musicians played innumerable instruments. Drums, trumpets, and conch shells resounded, and bards immediately composed poems glorifying Arjuna's achievements, right? So these guys are just run off things. They know Sanskrit so well. They know the vocabulary. They know the poetics, all the rules. So they can just compose on the spot. You know, what the rhymes and this and the meters and that. That's what they're special for. That's what they do. So right on the spot, they're making prayers about Arjuna. The gods praised Arjuna and sent down showers of celestial flowers. Right, so. That's it, you know, then he's done that, and now these celestial flowers are called. In the beginning, they showered a few just to make the environment, but now they're showering on Arjuna, because they all came there to see that. You know, it's fun seeing all the other kings and all that, but they come, you know. The Brahmins rose in a body, waving their garments and water pots, and leaping about in joy. Right, because the Brahmin said, you know, give him a chance, and they said, okay, so with that blessing. But the kings and princes were seized with shame, and they uttered explanations of grief and despair, you know, because they're the Kshatriyas, they can't, a Brahmin comes forward? Of course, then we'll see later is that Karna has a doubt who this is. Is this Parasaram? Who is this? You know, is this one of the demigods just come as it? Because we see so many times Indra will come as a Brahmin, others will come, Yamaraj comes as a Brahmin. So many times they come, so who else could defeat them? And if it's that, okay, they don't mind. It's just some you know, pujari down at the local temple, then that's a. Of course, they're Brahmins, so they're respectful, but, you know, but if the demigod's going to defeat, okay, well, what can you say? You know, Indra himself came, or, you know, Draupadi's so beautiful, then why wouldn't he come? So, like that. Drupad, his eyes expanded in happiness, gazed in wonder as the mysterious Brahmin walked towards the royal dais. Who was he? Could it actually be Arjuna? Because he doesn't know. The king noticed the other monarchs becoming agitated. Right? Because, okay, if none of the kings are wind, then okay, then you have to, there has to be some other way that they can prove. Because otherwise she's got to marry someone, and these are all the kings of the world. Who else is she going to meet? So that didn't work, so do something else. You know, they can have a thumb wrestling match or, you know, something, you know, like that, you know, pin the tail on the donkey or something. But, you know, here is that, you know, then he allows a Brahmin, because he allowed it, the Brahmin had just strode forward and they say, hey, 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 and he did it, then, you know, that's another thing. Then you argue over whether they can even, but he approved it. There was clearly going to be a fight, right? Because Swayamvar much of the time means fight, right? You know, and if it's not a Swayamvar and there's a fight, there's a Rakshasa aspect in the fight. In other words, if Kshatriyas, there's got to be a good fight, you know, like that. You know, so it's like the boys get together and after eating and this and that, and there's got to be some wrestling or something like that. It's just the way it is. Drupad turned to his chief minister, commanded that his army stand ready. Right? So it's not that, you know, they got to go wake them up and that. They're having a program. All these Kshatriyas are there. You have to have your army there. So it's just a matter that they've all just sitting. Now that they're ready, so they're ready. They just come out and line up. Because you can't have them, you know, attacking, or then, you know, now if someone tries a Rakshasa marriage, try to steal the girl, or things like that, you know, so you have to be ready for a fight. And you don't know, as you know, now his boy is one, or the other's going to try to challenge him, what's going to happen. He then told Draupadi to accept the Brahmin as her husband, right, because he won the match. And that, and he's qualified, how he behaved. You can see his character was better than anybody else who's come up there, you know, other than the Yadus, who just, you know, out of respect didn't come forward like that. So you can see it's the Yadavas and the Pandavas. They're the best as far as character and prowess and everything. Okay. So we'll stop here and then continue next with that, what happens. The after party party. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.